Friends, I'm excited to introduce you to Howl FM, the best, most convenient way to listen to all the episodes of Malton on Movies. It's on the web at Howl FM and on the go with the Howl app. You can stream and download all Malton on Movies episodes that have been released in the past 6 months. Go beyond the audio with behind-the-scenes photos, commentaries, and more. You can even go further by upgrading to Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. Get exclusive access to the entire Malton on Movies archive and to all the Earwolf and Wolf Pop archives. This includes all episodes older than 6 months. They've all been remastered and have no advertising. Only with Howl Premium, listen to hundreds of hours of Marc Maron's WTF archives. You can hear classic interviews with Robin Williams, Louis C.K., many, many more. And Howl has also partnered with some of your favorite hosts and comedians to develop Howl Originals. Those are brand new shows available only with Howl Premium. You can check out the great new series from Lauren Lapkus and the AV Club right now. There are already 10 brand new hilarious Howl Originals. We're adding new shows every week. Get access to all this exclusive content both on your phone and on your desktop with Howl Premium for only $4.99 a month. And with the promo code Malton, that's M-A-L-T-I-N, you get a full month of a free trial. Try it out. Go to Howl FM and enter code Malton at checkout. Remember, you can use Howl on your phone or your computer, but you can only use my promo code on Howl FM, the website. So go to Howl FM, that's H-O-W-L.fm, and use the promo code Malton, M-A-L-T-I-N, for one free month trial of Howl Premium. Give it a try. With the familiar strains of our theme song, I welcome you to another episode of Malton on Movies with Baron Vaughn. I'm Leonard Malton.
And I'm Baron Vaughn. Today we've got double the Malton, which means we're going to have half the Vaughn.
Half the Vaughn.
And I mean that as a compliment because I love watching the two of you speak.
And the second of us being...
Jesse Malton, that's me.
That's my daughter, Jesse.
Yes, it is a Malton sandwich for Baron Vaughn today.
That's right. We're the three amigos. Clearly... I am Steve Martin. Jesse, you're Martin Short.
I'm okay with that.
And Leonard, sorry to say, but you're Chevy Chase.
It'll do.
It'll do. But he's Chevy Chase then.
Yeah, Chevy Chase when people still liked him.
Then.
Waka waka. I won't touch that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Well, here we are. Now, I have to be truthful here. This concept that we're going to pursue today for the length of this episode was concocted by Jesse. So Jesse, why don't you explain it?
You realize that they tend to be concocted by me, what, because all I do is sit around and think about stuff.
Well, yes. Yeah.
I have plenty of...
Tell us what you thought up.
And me sitting and thinking is actually how this came to be. I have an autoimmune disease and a muscle disease, which means that I spend an insane amount of time in bed. Side note, when people ask me what I do for a living and I say, I'm in bed all day, and they say hooker, I go, yep.
Really? Is that the first thing people say?
Absolutely.
Wow,
it is.
People have.
You've met me.
What's it called? Sensitivity and consideration.
Never heard of either of those things. Well, so what happens is whenever I am on bed rest for long periods, I am right now, I go to the doctor, I go to the hospital, and I come here for Malton on Movies. That's the extent of my leaving the house. Basically, you know that when you are stuck in bed for days on end, whether you have a cold, you're a normal human being, not like myself, and you just, you know, it's like, oh, I don't feel well, maybe you have man flu, which is very difficult for both of you, I'm sure. It's terrible.
Man flu?
Yeah, when you get like a headache, and you're like, oh, close the curtains, I cannot function because I have man flu.
So that's great.
It's true. It's accurate. But basically, yeah, you know, we all have movies, first of all, that are just, oh my God, this is on, everything's going to be okay now. Because for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be really, really happy about my life. And then there's also movies that you find, and I have this a lot. My dad and I spoke about this a little bit. The truth is, I don't really see blockbuster movies very often. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against them at all. It's just that, for the most part, if I'm going to a movie, I'm going with my dad. And it tends to be, I tend to end up seeing a lot of the indies. So if I'm home, I watch indies and documentaries because those are my favorites. And my mom usually takes the blockbusters when she's the one that goes with my dad to see the blockbusters. So I don't see a lot of the really big major movies. I haven't seen most of the big major ones. My friends are always shocked by it. But I again, not on purpose. It just sort of is that way. So being stuck in bed, I've seen movies that I never thought I'd see. Movies that I maybe wasn't interested in. But suddenly when you have this time, you go, well, Might as well give it a worst case scenario, I'll change the channel.
Worst case scenario, I'll learn something about a group of people I might not have known about.
Well, there's never, even bad documentaries are interesting documentaries.
That is true.
But regular motion picture wise, you get to stumble on all sorts of things. So that was sort of the two-part. It's chicken soup movies.
Chicken soup movies is what we're calling
them. Movies that make you feel good. When they come on, you're like, yes, I will be all right. And also just sort of if there's anything you've stumbled across. And I just had the experience, which is what brought it up for me.
Oh, what did you stumble across?
I stumbled across Philomena. She wasn't hurt. no, what happened when the movie came out, I mean, so it's Steve Coogan, it's Judi Dench. Really, what more do you need to tell me from that point? It's two amazing actors.
Two fantastic dames.
I went there. When the film came out, I was, of course, intrigued because I know... Because I love the UK so much and I've spent a lot of time in Ireland, I know a lot about the history there and unfortunately what happened with nuns and what happened with women, unwed mothers and what have you. It's a very dark time, unfortunately. But so when I saw the trailers for this film, I thought, well, this looks really interesting, but it also looks really sad. And I just wasn't up for a sad movie at the time. Just wasn't ready for that. And my parents saw it and liked it, of course, but it is very tough. My mom read the book, and it was on the other day, and I thought, well, if it gets too upsetting, I'll change the channel. If I find that I'm getting too upset about it, I'll change the channel, no big deal. Well, it starts, and the thing is, you could watch Judi Dench paint a fence, and it would be fascinating. You know, you did it again.
Yeah, I did it.
But that's, you know, so I'm watching this movie and as I'm sitting there, I'm going, God, she's so good. She's incredible. And he too, and their rapport and everything about it. When the movie ended, my parents came home and I said to my mom, I went, so I just watched this. It's so good. And I was really happy that I had spent the time and watched this movie and could now say to friends, I know this is a tough subject. I know all that, but you should really watch it because it's just excellent filmmaking. Mm. And she, I mean, really just. Judi Dench, I have a shrine. I'm okay with it.
You'd pick her in a Judi pinch.
Oh, Baron. I don't know what we're going to do with you.
Just listen to the puns.
So that's sort of where that came from because, of course, I have the movies that I go to naturally where if I see something's on, I'm just like, that one. But then it's also, you will give things a shot because when you have nothing but time, it's what you do. My dad...
Philomena, just to interrupt, Philomena is worth seeking out, though.
Yeah, Philomena is...
If you haven't stumbled upon it or if you haven't seen it, it came out 2 years ago, 2013, and was well praised at the time.
Yeah.
And Steve Coogan co-wrote the script.
Screenplay.
Screenplay, which script, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing. Screenplay, script.
Oh, we have
script.
A screenplay script argument.
It's based on a book by a man named Martin Sacksmith, whom he portrays in the movie. And it's, you know, if you only know Steve Coogan for his comedic work, which is mainly what he's done— It might surprise you that he tackled something as serious as this, but it also gives the film a kind of a lightness at different times that I think is to its benefit. And Judi Dench also has a light touch.
Well, I would disagree only in that his character is quite sad.
Oh yes, of course,
and depressing, and it's amazing because. Whereas you'd think she would be the one who behaves that way, he's really sort of the down in the dumps, and he doesn't understand how she can be so optimistic having been through hell.
Right.
Have you seen the movie?
I actually have not seen the movie, no. You guys are filling me in.
Well, you know, you should Philomena. Really see this motion picture. Oh, yeah. It's
and just to be clear, it's spelled Philomena, Philomena.
Just the way it's spelled.
Yeah, well, yes, but some people might assume people are listening F. and don't know what we're talking about.
I thought
it was FPH. I saw a name yesterday that was NIJEL. Nigel.
Oh, wow.
How nice for you.
You're welcome. I just want to throw that in.
That's a great way to spell
that. Yeah, it's an option.
But I'm not surprised by Steve Coogan. Good old Steve Coogan. Steve Coogan, because... His comedy has that darkness
in it.
It has the melancholy in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised. That's why you're saying this. I was thinking about the Iron Lady for some reason because there are comedians in that movie who are doing dramatic roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about this and when you haven't been here, we've spoken a bit about how interesting it is that comedians, I have found, can be really incredible dramatic actors.
Yeah, I mean, that's what,
no
that's
big
what
deal,
we're known
God,
for.
But that's the thing, you know, I say that to friends often. I'll say, no, you need to see this movie because so-and-so in it, you know, I know you only think of them as being goofy or whatever it is, but if you can find the funny, you can also sort of find the other human emotions. If you know how to reach people, then you know how to reach people.
Well, you know, a good old theater teacher of mine, may he rest in peace, one thing that he used to bark at students, because young actors – we try really, really hard and we try really, we're sincere and we're earnest and we're doing it. And he would always yell out, where's your sense of humor? Because people are doing like scenes from, you know, the great plays or whatever. And they're like, oh, it's Arthur Miller. I better take it serious. And he's like, there's jokes in Death of a Salesman. You can't just be serious, serious, serious. So I think that when people think about drama, they're thinking like, oh, it's someone being really serious. And if it's someone that you've never seen be really serious, you doubt that they're serious or that they can be serious. But comedians are very – we tend to be pretty damn serious when we're not, quote, unquote, on.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I think I saw Steve Coogan, the first time he registered with me, was in the movie 24-Hour Party People.
Yeah. Mm,
Michael Winterbottom.
And a really good movie.
Yeah.
In which it's essentially a serious role.
Yeah.
Again, his sense of humor comes into play.
Yeah, he tends to, that's the thing, his serious face, it's not like he goes from being the clown to being, you know, and now Shakespeare. Yeah. You know, he kind of looks angry.
He just has, he has that awareness in his face. Like, I've seen it all and I haven't told anyone.
Yeah. I killed a man once. Yeah.
No, right. So that's an example of a movie that you stumbled upon, but you were already aware of it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's one of my very favorite things to do. And this is true whether I'm stuck in bed or not, is just to go through all the different channels and just see what I find.
Movie shop.
Pretty much. And I love doing it. And I love. It is stumbling. I love stumbling upon something. I love.
But it's already playing, and that's what's beautiful. Because I do that with Netflix, and sometimes I'll sit there for an hour just trying to figure out what I want to watch.
I find it so stressful. Even on IMDb, sometimes I'll go to look something up, and it'll show me all the movies that are coming out. And I go, my head hurts. I can't. I'm really intrigued by the Sarah Silverman movie, I Smile Back. You know, and then now they're doing so many films that open. Open in theaters in the same day. You can watch them on DirecTV.
Right, or VOD, right.
Yeah, and so there's so much.
There's a lot. Yes, there's an awful lot of
stuff. And that is actually what I enjoy about my time is that I get to do that, is that I just watch tons of documentaries. Right. I also end up, as I say, movies that most people have seen and have touted. I saw V for Vendetta, finally.
Huh.
Again, I don't avoid these films. I have nothing against any of them.
You just didn't see it.
I just didn't see it.
And then suddenly you finally saw it.
And I had so many friends who loved it. And that's the other tricky thing, of course, is when everyone's going, oh, this is an amazing movie. It's the best movie I've ever seen. You should totally see this movie. Well, that's not the way to walk in, because now I'm going, okay, movies, show me what you've got.
But that's how most people see movies these days.
Yeah,
yes, I'm afraid so.
As we know, I'm not most people.
I know, but there's too much. You got too much baggage, moviegoers.
It's true. It's true. It's why my dad always talks about not wanting to watch trailers, because they give so much away.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just because they give this so much away, but because they increase the hype factor.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I want to try to go in as
neutral
as neutral as possible.
Yeah,
I don't read about movies ahead of time. I try not to.
Yeah,
sometimes I succumb to temptation, but mostly I try not to. Well, and I try to avoid trailers.
Well, would you say that trailers are made? And I just thought of this. I'm like Billy Crystal over here. Would you say that trailers are made for people who don't want to see the movie?
All the time.
Basically, they're like, look, it's Denzel doing that Denzel thing, but this time on a plane, but this time in a train.
We say this so often because something that comes up
this is— This time in a bank, this time in a tank. All real Denzel movies.
Rob Schneider is a stapler. Have you seen that South Park episode?
No.
Well, Rob Schneider is a carrot. I will quote South Park all day long is a thing that I will do.
Fine, but that's okay.
I'm just teasing.
Malton. I love South Park.
But that, yes, he does.
Oh, really? I wouldn't know.
Oh, he's feisty. You have no idea. Yeah. There's a secret.
Well, listen, I want to just move the conversation in a different direction for a few minutes.
I kid because I can.
All right, I want to ask you, Baron.
Yeah.
All right, now the other aspect of chicken soup movies
is
comfort food movies, what I call comfort food movies.
Yes.
Ones that you don't feel well and you got just time to kill.
Yeah.
What's your go-to? What are some of your go-to movies that you know are going to make you feel good and feel happy?
Yeah, well, you know, the reason that this is an interesting subject also is that it's such a personal decision for people.
Of course.
Yeah. It really doesn't have that much to do with, as much as I know about movies, it doesn't have to do much with how arty the film is.
Like not
sometimes
at all.
It's not well written, it's not well acted, it's not well directed, but it still makes me feel great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That said, there is a movie I love called Meteor Man, which we spoke about a little bit on email. It's a ridiculous film, but it makes me so happy because of when I saw it. If you don't know Meteor Man, it is a film that was directed by Robert Townsend, who is a huge influence on me comedically.
Mm.
But it basically is a movie about what if the ghetto had a superhero that is actually trying to make change in a way that isn't like, because most superhero movies are like good, bad, the earth might explode. But what if it's just about a neighborhood, you know, full of a couple of interesting characters and interesting people who are sitting in some fear? And really the movie is about that everyone can be a superhero. And so it makes me cry. It really does make me cry. It's a ridiculous movie, but I also like seeing a bunch of really interesting people in the same place. Like James Earl Jones is in there for no reason. You have a lot of people that show up in a lot of Robert Townsend movies, movies by Robert Townsend, such as like John Witherspoon, who I always love, who's always a fun gentleman. And it, that's a movie when I see it, I'm like, oh, Meteor Man, I remember who I was. I remember who I was when I saw this movie.
But that's exactly that's what makes him so. And that's I always joke that there are two lists that people give. So if I say to you, what are your favorite movies? I personally find Citizen Kane, but you know, there's like the fancy schmancy
list. There's the
movies
to show you I know about movies.
But then there's your realistic list, which is why I tell, and everyone knows this about me, Con Air is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's horrible.
It is one of the worst movies ever made, and I love it so much. I can quote it. Oh, Lord. I mean, it's just, and that's, it's like, it's a wonderful thing to call someone on the phone and just go, put the bunny back in the box.
Oh.
Or in my head is
which
just.
Which is a great, I mean, Nicolas Cage's Southern accent.
It's a dude, for me, there's
it's a doozy.
There's a loop, or for young folks now, there's a vine of Nicolas Cage's hair just blowing in the wind. Nicolas Cage's hair blowing in the wind as he wears a white wife beater with sweat and dirt on it. And it just stays in my mind. And I will watch that movie anytime it's on.
That's your comfort food right there.
Yes, it is.
What about you, Leonard?
And my dad's ashamed.
Well, I have a different brand of comfort food. Or perhaps, no, to be more specific, a different vintage of comfort
That's
food.
That's totally fine.
Because these are movies I grew up with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that's usually where these movies come from.
That's right. Now, I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what you saw at an impressionable age stays with you and tends to have a sentimental attachment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what
and
I've
if
got.
You saw it with family and if you saw it, so much of that.
Yeah.
So now I wasn't born when these movies were made. So I encountered them later on, but I fell in love with them. So the Marx Brothers. The Marx Brothers are top of my list go-to. If I'm in a blah mood or a funky mood and Duck Soup comes on or Monkey Business or Horse Feathers or A Night at the Opera. It's going to make me feel better. They're going to make me laugh, even though I know the jokes, and they're going to make me feel better. And they're going to take me out of myself and take me into their private little world of nonsense. And nonsense comedy is a rare commodity nowadays. I don't know if there's anybody really practicing nonsense comedy.
Oh, there's
right
people
now.
Practicing nonsense.
No, there's people practicing idiocy,
okay.
Which is not the same thing as nonsense.
Malton gets fired up.
That's right. But I think their work is
well,
in
here's
a class
a,
by itself.
Here's a bold question.
Uh-oh.
I hope I have a bold answer for it.
Anchorman.
See, now Anchorman doesn't do it for me.
Anchorman is nonsense, but it's very modern nonsense.
That's true.
Anchorman 2,
I'll
grant you, I haven't
I'll
seen.
Grant you, you know, you're right.
Anchorman 2 is
no,
terrible.
No, I will sign off on that.
Okay.
Yes, that is nonsense comedy. See, but yeah. Will Ferrell, who I respect, doesn't make me laugh. Will Ferrell doesn't make me laugh. And people say, old school. I say, no.
Welcome back to Malton Confessions.
That's right. Just,
we're here with
just,
Leonard Malton.
Just doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
Just doesn't do it for
All
me.
All right.
And of course, there's nothing more personal than humor. Nothing more personal than you could argue till you're blue in the face why he's funny or why those films are funny.
Oh, I won't.
Won't change my mind.
There's no
nor
arguing
could I, nor could I, no, but I'm saying nor could I change your mind about something you like or dislike.
I Actually, so, I think you could. I'm a more open person than you are.
Okay, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's just the case.
But I also love the Marx Brothers, so yeah. It's not like I'm going to be like, no, that's not
funny.
No, they're
not mutually exclusive, not at all.
No,
not
they're
at all.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so Groucho, Harpo, Chico, and even sometimes Zeppo.
Even sometimes Zeppo.
The consummate straight man.
Yes. That's actually, nobody knows, but it actually has a tramp stamp that says, and actually sometimes Zeppo.
You know, a friend of mine actually has a tramp stamp that is Charlie Chaplin.
Well, good for
him. I'd be very okay with that.
It's a tramp stamp.
It's a tramp stamp. Oh,
that's
look
why
at,
she got it.
Look what you did. Look what you went and did.
So I grew up with the Marx Brothers, and I still, you know, turn to them in my moments of need. Yeah. Mm.
And then my dad brought up this film. He said, you know, for me, Yankee Doodle Dandy, they show it every 4th of July. And I said, no, Daddy, I'm not talking about a movie that comes on for holidays. I'm not talking, you know, we're trying to think of movies that you always watch. And he said, well, but I can watch that anytime and it makes me happy.
Well, you're happy when it comes on every 4th of July.
It's not only, it's not just that it makes me happy. And I did watch it this past 4th of July on TCM. But when I was a kid, it used to play on what we had in New York, and they had here in L.A. and a couple of other cities called Million Dollar Movie. Million Dollar Movie in these ancient pre-cable TV days, pre-home video days. Million Dollar Movie was on the RKO General stations like WOR in New York and KHJ here in Los Angeles. And what they would do is they would show the same movie something like 20 times during the course of a week. Mm. At 1 in the afternoon, at 3 in the afternoon, at 7 at night, at 9 at night, at midnight. And the announcer would say, if you enjoyed Yankee Doodle Dandy or missed any part of it, you can watch it again tomorrow, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 11 o'clock. And it would repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. So you tended to start memorizing these movies. Mm. But I find now, as I get older, I get more sentimental in general. And I'm very sentimental about this movie. And it is a sentimental movie to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's the story of George M. Cohan, the great stage star and producer and playwright. And played unforgettably by James Cagney in the role that won him an Academy Award. And it's a film that went into production just after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Mm. So what was already a flag-waving movie, because Cohan was like the ultimate flag-waver. He's the one who wrote the song Over There.
Yeah. Over There.
In World War I.
That's Charles Nelson Reilly doing it.
That's right. Or Paul Lind, maybe.
Yeah.
It was a rallying cry song in World War I that got revived during World War II. Mm. So there was a kind of unexpected relevance to it, and an unexpected relevance to the whole story of Cohan, who was sometimes put down by critics for being, you know, too obviously patriotic or jingoistic even. And now suddenly that didn't seem out of tune because we were suddenly thrust into another war. And audiences at home were shaken up by this, and their sons and brothers and loved ones going off to war. And this film couldn't have come at a better time. But it brings tears to my eyes whenever I watch it. And
what do you connect with?
Part of it is I guess I'm connecting with my youth, I guess, in part because I'm remembering all the years of seeing it growing up. Mm. I know that's part of it because
it's like an old friend that you see again.
It is, exactly. And it's not that I'm thinking of anybody in particular. It's just, or even thinking about my childhood. It's just there. It's buried in my brain that way. And I connect with Cagney, who's just so dynamic in this movie. He's just extraordinary. And remember, this is a guy who was typecast as gangsters and tough guys after becoming a star with the movie The Public Enemy in 1931. So he had almost a decade behind him or more of playing tough guys in hoods and riffraff. And suddenly out he comes as a song and dance man, a brash song and dance man. And he's phenomenal. He's just incredible. And he was imitating Cohan's steps, but also bringing his own personality to it. And it's about family, too. It's because the four Cohans were his mother, father, and sister, and him. And in fact, Cohan's sister is played by Cagney's real-life sister, Jean. So there's a lot of attachments and a lot of connections here. And it has a really interesting framework. And the framework is that George M. Cohan is being given an audience with the president, meaning Franklin D. Roosevelt, this being 1942-43. But because he was a sitting president, they didn't dare show him on camera. It was thought to be maybe too cheesy or presumptuous. So you only see him from the back. The back of his seat in his office at the White House. And they have a man imitating his voice. And so there's something kind of almost eerie about that, and yet compelling. Mm. And he talks to Cohan, who then sort of recounts the story of his life. And then he's given the Medal of Honor by the president, and leaves the White House. And I won't spoil the ending if you haven't seen the movie. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful film that I wouldn't want to change a frame or a second of.
What you said right there is way better than a trailer.
Right.
Way better than a trailer.
But that it is amazing how – because when we were in making up a list for myself, and when Baron and I were emailing, he mentioned a couple, and I went, oh, my God, I love these movies, specifically Ladybugs. Ladybugs is one that came up, and Little Giants.
Ladybugs and Little Giants.
Little Giants I saw with my dad. We saw it at the movie theater in Burbank, and I remember coming out with him, and I was so excited about it, and I just want to talk about everything. And but it is amazing because as you speak passionately and from the heart about this movie. And I could watch it and like it, and I have. You know, I watch the movie and I enjoy the movie. But that part that affects you is just not there for me. Mm-hmm. And so what's funny about the sorts of movies that we're speaking about, these chicken soup movies, is that it's like when you find out someone hasn't seen a movie and you go, how have you not seen XYZ? How have you not seen this? If you're about my age and you haven't seen 10 Things I Hate About You, to me, that's I'm baffled. Because that was so much a movie of my generation, and everyone saw it, and everybody could, you know, tell you lines from it. It has such a cast in it, an incredible cast of people. It's Heath Ledger, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Larissa Olenek, who was Alex Mack. Thank you very much.
I know the secret of Alex Mack.
I know you do. I do. Julia Stiles, like it's just and lots of other David Krumholtz. Lots of other
really
great folks.
And a lot of people who have, basically they have long careers from this movie.
Yeah. And so when someone tells me they haven't seen that, I'm genuinely shocked. I'm shocked by it.
But that's also part of it, because there's this idea of, you know, you've seen that movie a bunch of times.
Oh, so many.
You know,
yeah.
And you've seen
Yankee Doodle Dandy
a bunch of times. So you have that relationship with that film.
100%.
That, of course, it's such a core part of you that it's like – just assuming, because it's a universal thing.
Yep.
Like if somebody hasn't seen a movie that's super important to me, for instance, a movie a lot of people have not seen that's super important to me, and I've talked about it before, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Mm. Yeah.
Mainly because my name is in it. That's why I watched it.
That's why you watched it,
But
yep.
when you look at the work of Terry Gilliam, it's not his best film.
Yeah.
It's not his best film, and also it was kind of a flop, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it last, as much as I love this movie, there was a part of me that was like, it does take 30 minutes before anything happens.
Yeah.
It takes a good half hour before anything happens. Because I tried to show it to someone, I'm like, this is taking a while for stuff to happen. I don't remember it taking this long. But I still love that movie. And when someone's like, I haven't seen it, I'm like, what? But nobody saw it. Of course nobody saw it.
Yep.
But Yankee Doodle Dandy is very famous.
Yeah.
And 10 Things I Hate About You was a box office success.
Office success. And it was one of those similar to if you didn't watch Dawson's Creek. When I was in school, if you didn't watch Dawson's Creek and you came in, you didn't know what had happened.
Oh, I don't want to wait for my life to be over. But I also didn't watch Dawson's Creek, nor did I watch The X-Files.
I didn't either. I didn't watch X-Files.
Okay, good.
Something else I love, though, is I love the excitement that happens. So even via email, when you say Ladybugs, Little Giants, from my phone, I'm going, oh, my God, Ladybugs, I love those movies. Oh, I love them so much. In the same way that in person you have that, where if you're talking about something and someone brings up a film like this, everybody gets excited.
If you don't know Ladybug's audience or Little Giants, these are two like sports movies.
Yeah. You know what? I think this would be a good place to sort of tease the audience.
Oh. We'll talk more about Ladybugs and Little Giants.
We haven't taken a break yet. We should. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back, and Baron and Jesse will fill you in on these two favorites of theirs. Do you stream movies online? Many people do. Isn't it time you found something that's actually worth your time? Stop searching through an endless list of cheesy romantic comedies and sequels that never should have been made in the first place. Start watching great movies on Tribeca Shortlist. emphasizing quality over quantity, Tribeca's shortlist provides unlimited access to a hand-picked catalog of movies for less than the price of a movie ticket. Watch personal on-camera recommendations from experts in the movie business and find their picks on Tribeca's shortlist. We're talking about movies like City of God, Amelie, Fargo, and Chasing Amy, to name just a few. Finding a movie shouldn't take longer than watching a movie. So find one worth watching the first time and every time on Tribeca's shortlist. In celebration of their recent launch, Tribeca's shortlist would like to invite all Malton on Movies listeners to enjoy 15% off this new movie streaming service. That comes out to just $4.99 a month. So visit TribecaShortlist.com and enter the promo code Malton, M-A-L-T-I-N, to get your first month free and 15% off the monthly subscription fee. Remember, that's TribecaShortlist.com and the promo code Malton.
Bleep, 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 blue. Hello, welcome back, everybody, to Malton on Movies. I'm Baron Vaughn, and I'm here with two Maltons.
I'm Leonard Malton.
And I'm also Leonard Malton.
No, you're not.
Damn it to hell.
No, you're not. You're Jesse, and we all know it.
The comedy stylings of Len and Jess.
That's
us. So what were we talking about?
You were talking about Ladybugs and Little Giants.
There was
a string of sports movies.
They were that were marketed
Angels
at children.
Angels in the Outfield, Rookie of the Year.
Little Big League.
There was a bunch of movies that came out, and they were all sports, and they were Sandlot.
But they were about kids and about children's connection to sports.
And they spoke to us.
And I don't even like sports, but I love sports movies.
I'm the same.
Mainly because of these movies. Little Giants, Rick Moranis, come back.
Right?
Where'd you go?
Right, yelling
and then
in the night.
Ladybugs has got Rodney Dangerfield at the top of it.
The one and only.
The run and hole. I can't even do a Rodney.
No, we were just trying to.
But they're basically sports movies that are through the lens of children and adults and people connecting about sports as opposed to it being about winning.
Yeah.
And more about it being about teams and families and stuff like that.
And that's Little Giants, which is, it's Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis
O'Neill's
which
fantastic.
Is just glorious.
Oh, yeah.
Also, for me, it was, you know, there are a few guys who were the first like, I don't know why, but my heart is fluttering.
Okay.
And it's, you've got Macaulay Culkin.
Okay.
And then Kieran Culkin. I'm a Kieran sort of a girl.
The Culks?
The Culks. Thomas Ian Nicholas, who most people know from American Pie at this point, but he was in Rookie of the Year, and he was in A Kid in King Arthur's Court.
That's right.
Which two great movies. And you've got Joseph Gordon-Levitt, before people knew him. So he was in Angels in the Outfield.
JGL.
And then did Third Rock, and then did 10 Things I Hate About You. So that's, for my generation, he's very much a staple. And it's just, it's amazing. You've got these folks, Devon Sawa, who's in Little Giants. Oh, Devon Sawa, I love you so much.
I don't even know who that is.
How do you know as you do?
I will
throw a phone at your face. And Devon Sawa, we have Casper, Little Giants, and Now and Then.
Oh my goodness.
So he was really a big piece. And then
working a lot in the early 90s.
There's some guy, I think you might know, named Ethan Embry.
Don't know that guy.
I think you know that guy.
Nah.
He's on the show with Baron. See, I made a joke there.
I can't hardly wait to talk about Ethan.
Oh, wow.
Waka waka.
You are terrible. He's in Empire Records, that thing you do. Can't hardly wait. Dancer Texas, Population 81.
And
it's
Dutch.
A small film that I love.
And Dutch, speaking of Ed O'Neill.
And Dutch. And then he did the TV show Freaky Links. But those guys from my generation, it's like they were our first crushes.
It is true that anytime I tell any woman I know who is in her late 20s to early 30s that I am working with Ethan Embry, a scream usually happens.
Yep.
And then I have to run away.
I may or may not have followed him around to Ralph's one day. Neither confirm nor deny that I chased him around.
Californians or West Coasters, that's a supermarket.
Yeah, I definitely followed him around Ralph's creepily. Anywho, didn't get arrested.
Now, there's one film that you fell in love with that I fell in love with, too, because you watched it over and over and over again. That Thing You Do.
I love that movie so
much. Oh, really?
Yep. I love that movie so much.
And that's the movie that Tom Hanks' directorial debut.
Yes, indeed.
And he's in it as well in a supporting role. And it's a film I grew to love because of watching it over and over again and not getting tired of it.
No, and we listened to the music as well.
Yeah.
It's great music.
And
in
didn't
it.
Tom Hanks write some of the songs as
he
well?
He did.
Oh, yeah.
He did
yeah.
indeed.
He wrote That Thing You Do.
Well, because his film company is called Playtone.
That's right, which is the name of the record company.
And that's the name of the record company in the film. The first time I got to meet him, which I will say is up there of the I could die and be happy.
Not a lot of
moments.
People have a first time I met Tom Hanks.
Stories. But what was funny was that he was actually at a premiere to support Colin Hanks, his son. So he was there in the dad role. And when I told him that I love that thing you do, and this is many years ago now, he said, I have a garage full of VHSs. Let me know when – because I told him, I said, mine is starting to get a little choppy. And he said, I will send you one a week because I have so many. Because it didn't do terribly well. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about it, but it just was one of those films not everyone saw. And there, too, you got Liv Tyler, you know, Tom Everett Scott.
Young Charlize Theron.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. She. That's right. She's the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. You've got an incredible cast of people. Jonathan Shake, Steve Zahn, who
I love,
incredible,
who's
incredible.
And that was the four of them. That was the four of the group.
Yeah.
Ethan, Jonathan, Steve, and Tom.
Yep.
They were doing that thing you do.
Doing that thing you do.
Playing its way into your hearts.
Exactly.
Forever.
So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful film. And that is one.
I remember too very clearly is that Tom Hanks was on every conceivable television show.
Promoting it?
Promoting it the week leading up to its opening on a Friday. And it still flopped.
Yeah.
Because something just didn't register with audiences.
But if you haven't seen it, I really do highly recommend it. It's so much fun. It's just such a it's such a happy movie.
And I can testify to the fact that it wears well.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a film
I've seen it again, and it still makes me smile, and it makes me laugh, and I still swoon, which is, you know, really what I look for in a film is swooning. Mm. We did get away a little bit from our sports movies.
That's fine.
Don't yell at me,
Baron.
That's
how conversations flow,
yo. Don't yell at me right now.
Yo.
How dare you, sir? We've sort of mentioned Little Giants. Part of it, part of why specifically a lot of girls know the film, is that there was a girl in it, a tomboy, who Becky the Icebox O'Shea.
Icebox.
And she plays Rick Moranis, a very short description. Rick Moranis, Ed O'Neill, brothers, they have
a rivalry in their small town.
Yes, football teams. And Rick Moranis, his team, of course, is the ragtag mess, the kid with the allergies, and they're scared of the ball, they can't catch, but they're led by Becky the Icebox O'Shea. And then they get Devon Sawa to play on their team, and Becky all of a sudden goes, wait a second.
She's every woman.
I think that that Devon Sawa fella is pretty darn handsome. And I think that I want to know him biblically. No. That didn't happen. We were too young for that then. But what it was is it just sort of – I was very much a tomboy. And so it was so like, oh, my God, there's other girls.
It was good for you to see that perspective.
It was. And to see her then wanting to try on makeup. There's a whole thing of her wanting to – she becomes a cheerleader. She quits football and becomes a cheerleader in hopes of winning over Devon Sawa. And
well, my
so,
little sister actually did that. Interesting.
Did she win over Devon Sawa?
No, not the literal person.
That's part of why that movie, because all of them, really, Angels in the Outfield, they do the little, I believe, and I wave my arms, and if you don't know what that is,
But also, it was a remake, as you brought up.
Yes, the original Angels in the Outfield from the early 50s is it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And actually, I think a better movie, actually.
Ooh, snap.
We won't go into that.
I'm going to come
now.
Over there.
We won't go into that.
Well, then you've also got, the Mighty Duck movies, which, again, if you talk to anybody of a certain age, if you didn't see the Mighty Duck movies, just leave.
Of course,
away.
The best is D2.
So, again, all of this goes back to recapturing your youth.
Yep.
And that tends to be what makes us happy.
Yeah.
And we've been inculcated with these films.
I've never heard him use that word either.
Impressionable.
No, it's a great word.
And that's and that's what sticks. That's what stays in our heads and our minds and our hearts.
Yeah.
So another one for you.
Another movie that stays in my mind and my head and my heart.
Yep.
Well, I'll bring up this movie that is not the best again, but I love it. The Toy. Starring Jackie Gleason and the great Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
They're both the great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I watched it.
What a combo.
Yeah, that's why I watched it, because it was such an interesting combination. And I, as a kid, was aware of Jackie Gleason. Not like most kids, because I remember I would flip on WGN and The Honeymooners was playing. I'm like, what's this? Let me watch this. This looks crazy. And I thought Jackie Gleason was hilarious.
Because he was.
Because he was.
And still
is. I loved Richard Pryor. So I was like, those two together, let me see what this is about. Yeah. It's the concept, it is loose.
It's a remake of a French movie. And it's one of those
examples. Is it a remake?
Yeah.
I'd never really researched it.
One of those many, many examples of something that lost a whole lot in the translation.
And gained completely different meaning.
Yeah.
that it shouldn't have had in the translation. Rent a black guy. That's basically what it's about. But it is Richard Pryor being very funny, and me as a child seeing Richard Pryor, be very funny, and just that wonder wheel. There's a scene in it, because the whole thing is about Jackie Gleason plays a man named U.S. Bates, which becomes a joke because he has a Southern wife who keeps saying U.S. It's not your wife. Okay, I can't do a Jackie Gleason. Bang zoom. But he has this son who's very spoiled. And Jackie Gleason's character owns a lot of businesses and owns a store. And every year, I guess, when his kid comes to visit him, he lets him pick a toy, and any toy he wants in the store. And then as he's walking around the store, he sees the janitor, the night janitor, played by Richard Pryor, who's alone in the store just playing. And as a kid, seeing Richard Pryor play like that, it made me want to hang out with Richard Pryor, not knowing anything about his past, right, by the way, or what he's really into. But that is purely like – that's why Richard Pryor is funny, is seeing this – seeing it through the eyes of a child, like, oh my God, he's amazing. I want to hang out with him. And so that's the premise of the movie, is that this kid wants him as the toy, and everyone's like, what? This is salacious. It's the 70s or 80s whenever this movie was made. It always strikes a place in my heart, because it is still about friendship.
I forgive you. Jackie Gleason is so deadly unfunny in that movie.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
But I
kind of despise that movie.
But that's okay.
It's the scenes with the two of them.
Yeah.
There's one scene in particular with the two of them where they're funny together. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the movie, Jackie Gleason's not that funny.
Yeah.
The one scene he has, or the few scenes he has with Pryor, he's pretty funny in them. Because he's like, I'm with Pryor. I got to prove myself.
Yeah.
And then you see Jackie Gleason come out.
I've talked a bit before about going to movies with my dad, but especially when I was younger, something that he did was whenever he was going to go see a kid's movie, he'd take me with him to the screening. And they used to, for this reason, they used to have screenings on Saturday mornings. And a lot of the critics would have their kids with them so that, you know, it was a screening we could go to. And that's how we saw Mighty Ducks. It's how we saw a lot of these movies. And so for me, absolutely, 100%. I can hear both my parents laughing in my head, which sounds really creepy. I can hear them laughing in my head.
But it's a good, positive family laugh.
There are certain movies. Krippendorf's Tribe. I love that movie.
Interesting.
Richard Dreyfuss. We saw it together, and Jenna Elfman.
Yep.
And I had an Alice on one side and a Leonard on the other, and they were both laughing, and that just immediately, as is, I find the movie delightful. But then you add them to it. And it was the same thing with Jungle to Jungle, which didn't come out too far apart from that.
Yeah. Yep. I remember liking that
Tim
one.
Tim Allen. You liked that. We all did.
Martin Short's in it, too.
Yeah.
I love him.
But all three of us did.
Yeah.
And so that's very much, again,
that's a remake of a French movie that turned out well.
You're Jungle just making this up.
Yeah.
You do know that, right, Baron?
He's just
like
making
none
up
of these movies exist.
Every movie's
just
a remake of
out.
A French movie. Okay.
It was French. It can't be found. don't worry.
Well, you know, I was going to recommend a more contemporary French movie that I love called Priceless with Audrey Tautou and Gad Elmaleh. And it's unavailable for streaming. That doesn't mean you can't find it on DVD. You can.
Find it somewhere.
But and it might be available for rental at your public library, or it might be in a friend's DVD collection. But it's a film that gives you hope for the whole genre of romantic comedy, which Hollywood has killed off in large part.
Stabbed it to death.
Yeah.
Beat us
over
the head with
the
it.
The French still know how to do it, apparently. And
those
they do
French.
Well in Priceless.
Hmm.
And it was the first lighthearted comedic role Audrey Tautou had done. I mean, she was lighthearted in Amelie, of course, the film that made her a star. But since then, she tended to do serious films, and this was a complete change of pace.
Probably because she wanted to distance herself from a role that everyone kind of
exactly.
She didn't want to get
exactly.
Luke Skywalker'd, if you know yeah. what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I think we have to bring this to a close because I see by the old clock on the wall that there's an old clock on the wall.
Boom.
And so I'm going to ask each of you for one more gut reaction, just knee-jerk title to recommend from your go-to list.
Okay.
Your chicken soup movie go-to list.
All right.
Jesse?
It has to be The Birdcage.
Okay.
And
well, you and my wife, yeah, you and
yeah,
your mother.
Yeah, that's the – my you know how sometimes you open your mouth and your mother comes out?
No, actually.
I have it a lot. And and with that movie, again, I can hear my mother laughing. And I've now started to laugh like her, which is new for me. My mom does the silent laugh, which is the
And that's how you react to
Birdcage?
And
that's now how I watch Birdcage. And okay. They've had it on a loop on Logo for like 2 weeks. I'm just like, oh, I'll watch it again. And then again.
Oh, goodness.
And I laugh.
And it brings you pleasure every time.
Yep. Well, I know why the cage bird laughs.
And for you, Baron?
Me? Well, Leonard, why would you ask such a thing? Well, a movie that I love, Trading Places. Of classic comedy, you know, Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. And then you have the duo of Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy as well. And Jamie Lee Curtis. And if you don't know that film, something's wrong with you. But if you do know it, you know what I'm talking about. It's just delightful is the only word that comes to mind.
And a huge hit.
Was it a huge hit?
Oh, yeah.
No, good.
Big, big success.
Which makes sense because
that's
Eddie Murphy was a giant star.
Yep.
And then the chemistry with him and Dan Aykroyd is great. I think the story is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The way it kind of unfolds. It reminds me of Silver Streak in some weird ways. Mm-hmm. Maybe because there's a train scene. But that's pretty much it.
And what about you, Daddy?
Well, I was looking at my notes for, you know, newer movies, contemporary movies. One of them is The Commitments, which again is
that's
not,
one of the best movies.
Not available for download.
Very
for streaming,
hard to find,
which I think I said to you, Leonard, the director of photography of Grace and Frankie,
mm-hmm.
is a gentleman named Gail Tattersall,
mm-hmm.
and he was the director of photography for The Commitments.
Yeah. Well, tell him to get it streamed.
Yeah, what a wonderful movie that
tell
is. What a wonderful,
him.
Wonderful movie that is.
And it's been revived on stage.
Yeah,
that's right. As a musical.
Yeah,
and it was on last year. It might still be running, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful film.
Yeah, worth seeing under any circumstances.
Yep.
By any means necessary.
I found it. I found the German dubbed version and purchased that. Let me tell you, it's a little different, but I'm okay
yes.
with it.
Das Commitments.
Well, thank you for joining us as always. We had fun talking movies, as we always do. And Baron, where can people find you before our next episode arrives?
Oh, me? Well, I'm on Twitter, BARVONBLAQ. Someone on Twitter told me they sang that along with me. So
oh, nice.
Now I'm going to do that.
You got a jingle. That's great.
Sorry, everyone. Or BaronVon.com and look out for the dates of the Saturdays tour. What about you, Leonard?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Leonard Maltin, and I'm online at my website, LeonardMaltin.com. LeonardMaltin. I say that because people don't seem to know how to spell the word Leonard, their name Leonard, rather. I get strange variations
Leonard?
On that.
Yeah.
Yes.
They get confuzzled.
But anyway, LeonardMaltin.com. And I should plug the fact that I have a new edition of my classic movie guide, the third edition, presented by TCM. TCM presents Leonard Maltin's Classic Movie Guide.
300 new old movie entries.
300 new old movie entries. And it's available anywhere books are
sold. It's also been updated.
Yep. And
revised.
Much revised and updated and improved. And I'm very proud of it. If you love old movies, I think you'll find the book useful and fun.
And if you don't.
New old movies,
yes,
even more.
All of that. All of
I
that.
Always say, if you don't like the movie guide, that's fine. Makes a great doorstop.
And I leave you with the immortal words of George M. Cohan, as voiced by James Cagney in Yankee Doodle Dandy. My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you. See you next time.
Bye.
Face it, movie fans. You might have a 96-inch TV, a deluxe Dolby surround sound THX audio guy, a Blu-ray player, a Green-ray player, and all the fixins. But no matter how immersive your home entertainment center is, you'll never know what it's like to be inside the film. Well, on the podcast I Was There Too, featuring me, Matt Gourley, I interview the lucky people who managed to get inside the movie. Not in an inner space sort of shrink down way, but they're actors who played small roles in iconic scenes from classic movies and TV shows, like Alien, Speed, Clueless, Star Wars movies, and more, in clips like this.
He goes, I drove Harrison Ford on the third Raiders picture, right? Harrison Ford would smoke a bone on the way to the set every day. Right?
Oh, and back, yeah, of course he would, yeah.
And one day I go to pick him up at the Savoy, and he comes out with a saucepan with a lid on it. He goes, I ran out of papers. So he's heated up the dope, you see, in the saucepan and cooked it. So he opens up the saucepan and goes like this, and like just sticks his head in it.
So listen to I Was There Too today on iTunes, Howl, wolfpop.com, or your favorite podcast app. It's the next best thing to tronning yourself inside the movie, or last action heroing yourself, or pleasant villing yourself. You know what? Pick your reference. I Was There Too. Catch the action.
Pop.
Pop?
Pop.
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 This has been a Wolf Pop production, executive produced by Paul Scheer, Adam Sachs, Chris Bannon, and Matt Gourley. For more information and content, visit wolfpop.com.